in the past 10 to 15 years has really been under a major attack, hasn't it?
With each year, its increasing voice is heard, and there is a very loud-spoken minority that has been trying to influence politics, schools, and society to say God didn't create them only male and female. One chooses the gender of their choice. And sometimes when put under the questions, what is a female or what is a male, they can't give you a straight answer regarding that. Well, before we get into that, to understand some of its roots, you have to understand that a lot of this started with sexual perversity in general in this country becoming more widely accepted, even before homosexuality was more accepted in this country. Back in the 60s and the 50s and 70s, premarital sex, extramarital affairs became accepted. It was kind of the hippie, the love way, the love generation, as they often called it. And this paved the way for a broadening acceptance of all sexual sins, and eventually that of homosexuality. More widely accepted as you go into the 80s and into the 90s. And in my lifetime, I've seen a lot of changes where it went from not accepted widely to now widely accepted. Do you realize that it was Democrats that voted in the Defense of Marriage Act in 1996, and it was Democrats that voted it out, repealing it in 2022, even though it was struck down by the Supreme Court in 2013. But back there in 1996, the Defense of Marriage Act won by a landslide. It wasn't even close. We haven't seen this kind of bipartisan effort against something in a long, long time. The House voted 342 to 67, and the Senate 85 to 14 to defend what the Bible says in regards to a man and woman in marriage. My, how far we have come in such a short amount of time. Almost in warp speed, we have come to these days. These fertile fields of sin, more twistedness is born from them, such as gender confusion. Now, our society has spent so much time in trying to get people to accept any kinds of sexual partners or sexual arrangements. And sometimes when it come to talking about the transgender issue, they say, well, this is different. This is something different. They're separate. But how can that really be? You see, if you are a biological female, but you proclaim yourself to be a male, and then as a self-proclaimed male, you pick out a female partner, do you see how ultimately you're committing homosexuality? Because really you are a biological female with another biological female. So these issues are intertwined. It's all connected. And all the world is wanting us to be ashamed for saying that it is sinful, for saying that it is wrong, for saying that it should stop. Now, us older folks are not really the targets of influence by the modern generation. Most of them know we're not going to change our viewpoints on this. They just want us to die off. It's the younger generation that they seek to target and to change. And we must not be so fooled to think that they can't. We must not think that we're a very conservative bunch of people, conservative Christians, therefore we're safe. I knew of a preacher friend who had two children grow up and become homosexuals. I know of another preacher friend who had one child that grew up and became a homosexual. Liberal surroundings and influence can take a toll. And when the messaging is constant from the media and from schools and from peers, it's hard to compete with such a bombardment. I remember watching a show one day. It was totally not about this subject at all. But regarding their particular subject, they were trying to talk about how can we change society regarding their subject. And they said, you know, the truth is it will not just take one show about the subject. It's going to take show after show after show. And the co-anchor, the co-person said, yes, just like the homosexual movement made their changes, show after show after show. See, the world knows the name of the game. The point is that what's put out there constantly begins to desensitize us to it. And our children can become desensitized to it as well. And so we need to closely monitor their influences. And it's not because we can keep them sheltered and disconnected from the world, as such is indeed unreasonable. It's because we want to control what goes into their hearts in a constant, continual basis. It'll be an occasional drip from what they might see at a Walmart from time to time, or an occasional commercial, or it's going to be a wide open spigot where you just allow them to have free reign of any social media outlet out there. These are questions that we need to answer as family units. Okay, now on to the lesson. What does the Word of God say about this? Well, that He only created two genders. Turn back there to Genesis 1. I quoted it, but this time you're going to see it. In Genesis 1, there, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Now, chapter 2 goes on to expand more on this particular account, to give more details regarding it. In Genesis chapter 2, there, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." We know this is going to become Adam. He has the breath of life given to him by God. Well, where does the woman come along? Well, the Bible tells us in verse 22, "Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, He made into a woman, and He brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" Isn't it interesting how he talks about husband and wife coming together from father and mother? This before there was no other fathers and mothers, just Adam and Eve. God was saying that He had some enduring principles that He hoped to play throughout the remainder of time given to man, that this would be the natural order. Male and female come together, they create more male and females. The first ones become the parents, father and mother, and then so on and so forth. The next ones go on to procreate and become fathers and mothers as well. So we see there's only two genders, and He made the genders. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible tells us this interesting detail through Jeremiah, that God knew us before He even formed us in our mother's womb. So He didn't make a mistake. In Genesis 1, or Jeremiah 1, 5, He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you." And He says to Jeremiah, "I ordained you a prophet to the nations." And so even before Jeremiah was born, even before he was in the womb, He says, "I knew you. I knew the soul you were going to be. I knew the person you were going to become." In Psalm 139, here verses 13 and following, He says, "For you formed my inward parts." This is David speaking. "You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you." I want to highlight that. My frame was not hidden from you. Here you might even have a marginal note that talks about the bones of the individual. He says God formed it all together. The muscle, the skin, and the bones, the very frame of my being, was not hidden from you. Did you know they're able to tell just by looking at the bones if one was a male or female? There's differences in the bones of males and bones of females. The broadening of the hips, there's one difference for the females. The density of the bones for the men is same also with the skull. Even if they just had the skull, they could tell whether it's a male head or whether it's a female head. Now, one might do everything they can to change the aesthetics. They can go through types of therapies, and it will not change the bones. When they're dead and gone, and the flesh is rotted away, it'll still say exactly the gender they were that God made them. My frame was not hidden from you. So He knew us before He formed us. He said, this person's going to be a male. this person's going to be a female. He fashions us just the way we should be. Like David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a chance. It was made. And He made us, the Bible tells us in Genesis 1, in His image. So to be something else than what we were made is to dishonor His image. We are to reflect a holy God to the world. But how can we fulfill that purpose when we refuse to accept how the holy God made us? By saying, God, You messed up. You made a mistake when You made me. I really should have been a female. Do you see the results of disobedience? To change what He has made. It is an affront to the Creator. It is a disregard for His plan, for He made for you before you were born. Look and keep reading in verse 16. Your eyes saw My substance, yet being unformed. You get that? Even before fully made. You saw Me. You were there. Verse 16. And in Your book, they all were written. The days fashioned for Me, when as yet there was none of them. So God had high hopes for us all. He didn't make anyone a sinner or a vessel for destruction. Those are choices that we make. There He plans it out. Shows us. Has them written down. So when we then try to deviate from God's plan from us, that ultimately then can be done by the influence of Satan. It is the work of Satan. Yeah, God made you this. But why not be something else? Satan tends to disobey God, even defy God. Should the pot say to the potter, why you made this me this way? That's what Romans 9:20 says. And the pot says, yes. That's exactly what we'll do. Why did you make me this way? I'm going to change the way in which you have made me. Those that believe they can choose their gender are simply marring the gender with which they were created. Imagine every art creation that you made and you devised, that you painted, that you put together with construction paper, that you made with clay, whatever it may be. Imagine everything that you made changed into something that you didn't create. Imagine a clay pot saying, no, I want to be a chicken instead. When they glue some feathers on it, put on a beak, glue a beak on, it's still a pot. And so we have to recognize that God and His order in which He has done these things is expecting us to respect them and to believe that He has the way planned for us. So how are they informing our children and teens? How are they influencing them? Well, you can find children's books made about this in almost every library now. Here's one, for example. Be who you are. You see a boy look in the mirror and seeing a girl instead. Here's another one. When Keith or Kathy is Keith. And another, Sparkle Boy. And this other one saying, I'm not a girl, as she looks into the barbershop and sees a boy. Another very famous book, I Am Jazz. And all this to get a child to be curious as to maybe, just maybe, you aren't who you are. That your birth gender is not your real gender, they say. And now we have libraries across the country that invite trans and drag queens to come in and to read these kinds of books to children. And this is all over the country. And so this is how they're trying to sow those seeds at an early age in the hearts and minds of children. To offer confusion to how they are. What about for older children, for teenagers? Well, I did some research and I found a website addressed to teens called Teen Talk so that I might see how this is all being approached by them. Right? What they want to talk to teens on Teen Talk. I remember looking at it and seeing it. There was hearts all over the website. And the idea is that they're trying to use love, right? This is the loving way. Just be accepting. Let people choose who they are and love them anyway. Now, indeed, we need to love people. There's no mistaking about that. But their definition of love is an abuse of the word love. It allows anyone to define what love is. When I ask you, can a pedophile love a 7-year-old child? There's a movement that's beginning. It's very small, very minor. Preference for minors. You see, a lot of these things start small and minor. Like we said, way back when in the 60s and 70s was homosexuality. Back in the 80s and 90s was transgenderism. It just starts small. Can a man say he loves 5 women and have a polygamous marriage? In the new covenant, is that allowed by God? Can a murderer love murdering? My point is, where does the line end when each one defines love their own way? We need to allow the Word of God to define it. And He does. In 2 John 6. 2 John 6. It's very plain. 2 John 6. What does God say? This is love. That we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment that you've heard from the beginning that you should walk in. This is love, He says. Walk in obedience. We're going to allow God's Word to be the authoritative guide in our life. Then this is how He defines love. God Himself. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus says it this way. If you love Me, keep My commandments. Keep My commandments. Very plain. We want to be one that loves and seeks to honor Jesus. We're going to keep His commandments. He goes on to say in verse 23 and 24, in case one missed it. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves Me, he will what? Keep My Word. And My Father will love him, and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love Me does not keep My words. And the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father who sent Me. So Jesus makes it very clear. If we want to follow in His definition of love, then we're going to keep His commandments. We're going to walk in His commandments. We're going to obey Him. And when He does it, He promises to make His home with us. If we don't, then we're outside of fellowship with God and with Jesus. In 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 8. We have to remember this characteristic of God. 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. Therefore, He can perfectly define love for us by His Word. There's no one that knows love better than love Himself. God. So when He defines it this way, He says this is how we ought to love one another. It's not just by giving everyone the free pass and accepting them in their sins. God doesn't do that to us. It's by when we find one in the error of the way, correcting them, speaking the truth in love, that they may grow up into all things unto Him who is the head. That's His desire. The ironic thing is that if we say these things, the world calls that kind of love hate. Isn't that ironic? But it really shouldn't be. That was true even in Old Testament times when Isaiah said, they call evil good and good evil. The world tends to flip the things of God. That's the way Satan does, right? That's true from the very beginning of the Garden of Eden. God says, don't eat that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan says, go ahead and eat it. Just flip it. Just flip it. So it's not a strange thing that they call what we say is love actual hate speech, right? It is not hate to point out sin, friends. It is love. It's like a doctor pointing out cancer. It may not be what we want to hear, but it's what we need to hear so we can be saved physically from that untreated cancer and what it would do to us. So when I pointed exactly what God said, He made them male and female, and there's nothing else. There's only those two genders, no others. That's not hate speech. That is a loving doctor saying, you're going to die from your cancer if it is untreated. It is not a surprise, friends, that God would refer to sin as a cancer in the Bible. If you want to write down 2 Timothy 2:17, you can see yourself. Sin is like a cancer to the soul, to the mind, to the heart. And God will only save the repentant. He has never promised to save the sinner while in their sins. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59, behold, your iniquity has separated you from your God. So He will only save the one that has repented of their sins, ceased their sin. So what we see here is that it's all about choice, about who you want to be, they say. Not what God decides. So this way, each one's a God unto themselves. They have to follow no one, obey no one, but just themselves. And this, my friends, is much of the attitude of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, Paul faced it. We're facing it today as well. In Romans chapter 1, when the word of truth is preached, Paul says there'll be those that didn't like it, and they'll seek to suppress it. They'll try and make laws against it. Whatever they can do to hold it down, hold it back, right? We can read those kinds of books to children in libraries, but dare not one read the Bible or teach the Bible in school. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Why do they do this? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. They can't accept what the Word of God has said. That's too strict. That's too old school. And they don't want it in their lives. So they suppress it. They know what it says. God's manifested to them. But they don't want it. So what happens? Well, he goes on to talk about that generation in Paul's day. And what happened to them? It's the same thing for ours. In verse 24, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart to what? Dishonor their bodies among themselves. And what is taking place with a lot of these gender surgeries is dishonoring of one's body, the very body that God gave them. Because they've rejected the word of truth. They don't want God's will in their lives. They suppress that. And they take rather uncleanness, lust of their hearts, and dishonor the bodies among themselves. He goes on to say in verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passion, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in the lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And they wouldn't want to retain God in their knowledge because it would condemn their lifestyle, condemn their choices, their uncleanness, their sexual impurity, and the dishonoring of their bodies. This is all as serious as a heart attack. Because God goes on to talk about the punishment that awaits. There you'll see in verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them. So one may not be of this sort. But hey, you know, leave them be. Let them go ahead and do what they'd like to do. Just love them anyway. Let them do these things to their bodies. Well, God says, you have rather aided them in their sin. And your judgment is just as well. Now, God wants to save us from all of that. And that's what chapter 2 talks about here in Romans. who he wants to try and be long-suffering. Verse 4, do you despise the riches and goodness of his forbearance and the long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? That's why he waits. That's why he gives us more time to teach and inform. Because he hopes people will come to the knowledge of the truth that they may be saved. Well, back to this website on Teen Talk. It had the following answer to the question of how many genders are there. And I'll just quote it here for you. It said the short answer is a whole bunch. Until recently, our society has only acknowledged two genders, male and female. But this has never been true. We've just read from the foundation of the world that it was. Now again, someone that doesn't believe the Bible is their foundation, that they don't believe this is really God's book, then yeah, you're not going to believe that. You have to study the evidences to prove that this is God's book first, right? But if we accept this as his authority, then we see from the foundation of the world, it indeed was true. So they say, not until recently, right? But that kind of goes along with what I was saying. It's been in the past 10, 15, 17, 18 years where many of these changes have been taking place. Now they go on to say on this website, what do we mean assigned at birth? Think about one of the first things a doctor or midwife says when someone is born. It's a girl. Or it's a boy. This is gender assignment. And it is based on an assumption that someone's genitals match their gender. However, we know this isn't always the case, and that each of us gets to decide what gender we know ourselves to be. Friends, this flies in the face of God. It flies in the face of Psalm 100 verse 3 where it says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. So, let's talk about transgenderism in this movement. Here's some, but not all, of the gender identity terms, and zoom in a little bit there. Transgender, two-spirit, side gender, non-binary, gender queer, gender expression, gender fluid, gender neutral, and this was just some, and I've decided to just kind of share some of their definitions again from the website here to give you an idea of what is being shared with teens. So transgenders, someone whose gender identity is different than the one that they were assigned at birth. So, if they're born male, but believe they really should have been female, then presto, they are that just because they say so. They've changed their gender. That's what trans means. Trans means change. Change their gender. And everyone just has to accept this and play along by their rules. And they're supposed to be allowed into every kind of facet of reality that we find ourselves in. You see them now on boys on girls teams, and no one can say anything about it. Lots of boys not cut out to make the boys teams are now dominating the girls teams, and the schools are left scratching their heads as to what in the world they're going to do about it. Many of them are caving in. Of course, you've probably seen this individual here. He's won a number of swim, very high-ranking swim competitions. A boy against girls. And they say it's even offensive to call him a him. You've got to use their terms. So this is transgenderism. Non-binary. It doesn't identify as a man or a woman. And it means different things to different people. I kid you not. This is what they said. Genderqueer. Their gender identity is neither male nor female. It's between or beyond genders. Or is some combination of genders. Gender expression is about how someone acts and presents themselves to the world. For example, does someone wear makeup? Do they wear dresses? Do they prefer only to wear pants? Gender expression is not related to someone's gender or sex, but rather about personal behaviors and interests. You know, God front ran that in Deuteronomy 22:5 when he said a woman must not wear a man's clothing nor a man wear women's clothing for the Lord your God to test anyone who does this. He's speaking about addressing in such a way where it makes it look like one is not the gender that they ultimately are. Gender fluid. It may refer to gender which varies over time. Someone who identifies as gender fluid may fluctuate between genders or express multiple genders at the same time. Their gender may also vary at random or vary in response to different circumstances. Gender neutral. Someone who feels they are neither male nor female may identify as gender neutral. Now, wait, I thought that was non-binary. You see, all of this really is creating anarchy. Gender anarchy. No one even really knows the rules anymore. I have seen lists that have had 22 gender identities and another that had 64. I don't even know how to respond to something like that. There has to be so much overlap. But such is gender anarchy. If one wants to identify as whatever they want, there's just no stopping point. One side even said some of the terms mean different things to different people. So there is no consensus definition on these things. You really can never really know with gender anarchy. See, man is all about chaos and confusion. But you know what the Bible says about God? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if man's about chaos, if man's about confusion, what about God? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." He came to give us peace from all the chaos. Satan wants to stir the pot. He wants to create the chaos. God wants to create the peace. Satan's way has 64 genders and counting. Man's way, God's way has two. Male and female. He created them. Now listen, what all this is trying to do is redefine gender to be a choice. And they want to win the terminology war, which in our age they are making ground, if not winning. And if they can win that, then comes the denouncing of any who will not take up the same terminology or be accepting of such. 2 years ago, January 2021, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the Rules Committee Chairman James McGovern, they claimed that changing pronouns and familial relationships in the House rules to be gender neutral terms are necessary changes to honor all gender identities. So they thought about to establish this bill. They proposed changes that would establish gender inclusive language in the House rules, eliminating gendered language. So instead of words like father or mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, first cousin, niece, nephew, niece, husband, wife, on and on we can go. They said use language instead like parent, child, sibling, parent, sibling, first cousin, sibling's child, spouse, parent-in-law, child-in-law, sibling-in-law, step-parent, step-child, step-sibling, half-sibling, or grandchild. Just eliminate on anything that can be and construe the idea that one is a male and one is a female. And friends, if they can force the government to use their terms, then we're next. And believe it or not, it's already been starting for some time. I listened to this podcast last week. There was a psychologist and he was talking about his profession, and one was asking about how some of these things are affecting the medical health community. And he said it really is becoming very difficult. He said, we get individuals in that have schizophrenia. And he comes in and we must tell him that the voice he's hearing or the personality that he believes that he is not real. It's not reality. But then a transgender person comes in and we must affirm them that the voice they hear that tells them who that they are reality. He said, I asked my colleagues, by what authority, and those are his terms, by what authority do I have to say one is true and the other is false? Some pretty good logic, thought out phrases. By what authority can we say that the voice one hears that develops and is defined as schizophrenia, those are false, but the voice they hear when they say I'm biologically male but I really believe I'm a female, that's true? It is sad, difficult these times. But again, we're gathered here tonight to see what does God say about this. not so much what psychiatrists say. What does Jesus say about all this? Because I have heard of transgenders, homosexuals that say, you know, I just really care about Jesus. I just want Jesus in my life. What does Jesus say? Well, believe it or not, Jesus says the exact same thing that God does. Matthew 19:4, Mark 10 and verse 6. Let's just turn over to Matthew 19:4. You can read it there, but I like what he says there at the beginning. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? He expected his audience to have done that homework already. You should have known this. Have you not read this? That he who made them at the beginning made them male and female. Now ultimately he was going to address marriage and divorce relationships. But he goes back to the beginning to talk about this relationship that God had and made in the beginning, like I said there, with father and mother being used in Genesis chapter 2, before there ever was a father and mother, that he was setting a precedent of what he expected to come. And the father and mother would create children, and those children would become fathers and mothers and create more children as well. There was only these two genders. He never talked about any more than two genders. And you know what? In John chapter 1, Jesus, we're concerned about what Jesus says. In John chapter 1, the Bible tells us about Jesus and about creation. Did you know all things were made through Him? John chapter 1, in the beginning, verse 1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And listen to this, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. That includes you too, in His image. So this is not only an affront to God, but also to Jesus Christ Himself. And like I said, the bizarre thing is that some homosexuals and trans will pray to God in the name of Jesus, and they're willfully leading rebellious lives to the Creator, and yet expect it all here and answer their prayers. Friends, not unless it's to learn the truth, not unless it's to try and get right and start to get on the path that God has laid out for them. God does not hear sinners. But we know in the case of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, there was a man who wasn't a Christian, who prayed to God always, and God heard him because he was seeking for the truth. And God sent Peter to him to teach him that very truth. It is God that assigns the genders, not we ourselves. Jesus, our very Creator, assigns every soul to every body, and we're made in His image, male and female, and nothing more. Friends, we are in a culture war. The very fabric of our country is changing right before our eyes. And like I said, soon what we've just talked about, how I've just presented this tonight, will be considered hate speech. I don't know how many years into the future. I pray it's farther down the line. But when you start to see the handwriting on the wall, you begin to realize what is taking place. And we must be prepared to stand for the truth and, if need be, suffer for the truth. In this country, we're protected by our First Amendment rights, but we must begin prepared. There may be some changes to some of that. Still speak the truth in love, come what may. But I also want to say this at the end. Let us remember this too, that this is not an us versus them, but this is God versus Satan. And that's how I approach such with them. This is not personal. It's not personal. This is salvational. And if you don't want salvation, then that's your choice, is what I'd say. But if you desire salvation, then you and I must surrender to the will of God in all things. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17 says. And if one finds himself in this, then don't stay in it. You can't stay in it and be pleasing to God. Because the Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 2, may we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. For how who we who die to sin live in it any longer? We as the people of God must not underestimate the movement among our youth that has gained a lot of steam in a short amount of time. We may not be able to change the world, but we may save our children. And that right there cannot be underestimated. And that may give us some hope to make sure that we train up our little ones in the way that is right and cannot be wrong. God will be with them, that God will bless them as they learn that the ultimate goal in life is to glorify God by obeying Him in our lives. And if we do that, we win the war. Because we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, the Bible tells us. Maybe you're here tonight and you're outside of Christ Jesus, lost in your sin, suppressed in the truth with your unrighteousness. Don't stay in that position or that state. Become more than a conqueror. Be victorious to Jesus Christ. Because life is short and eternity is long. And we who are right with the Lord do not have to fear death. The Bible tells us there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we can say, "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh Hades, where is your victory?" But I thank Christ Jesus who gives us the victory. You can say that tonight as well. If you're willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. Peter said, Acts 2:38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." All your sins will be remitted. Even the ones we talked about tonight. Washed away like a blanket of snow, untouched, pure and clean. So your soul will be. If as God's child you've fallen away, maybe become weak, maybe this has been what you needed to hear to be re-strengthened the way it is truth. And if you need help or prayers from your brethren here, we stand ready to help and pray for you. We love you and we're thankful that you're be willing to be vulnerable and to share. You'll not be met with harsh eyes or harsh tones, but with a caring hand and a loving heart. And I know the saints here at Memorial Boulevard will do all they can to assist you to stay in the right path. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?